Hey everybody, and welcome back. Today we're taking a deep dive into a case that's had a huge impact on class action law, Amchem products, Anctes Windsor. It's a Supreme Court decision that really changed the game for mass tort cases, especially when it comes to settlements.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting one because it deals with this massive settlement that was supposed to be like a one-stop solution for a mountain of asbestos litigation, but as we'll see, it ended up raising some big questions about, you know, fairness and how our legal system works.
Okay, so we're talking about this explosion of asbestos lawsuits back in the 70s and 80s, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, we're just overwhelmed, especially the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. They were trying to find any way they could to manage this flood of cases.
Right, and so they decided to consolidate them, and that's what led to this proposed global settlement.
And the scale of this thing was just unbelievable. It wasn't just about a few cases. It was trying to create a system to deal with every asbestos claim, present and future. I mean, we could be talking millions of people, right?
Absolutely, potentially millions.
It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it went way beyond just money. This settlement was supposed to set up this whole system for processing these claims outside of the normal court system. The goal was all about getting people compensation faster without spending years fighting in court.
Yeah, the key word was efficiency.
Exactly. But like we see all the time, the road to efficiency can be paved with some pretty tricky legal issues.
Exactly. And in this case, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals took a look at this settlement and said, nope, this doesn't meet the requirements for a class action lawsuit. They're laid out in Rule 23 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, which, you know, are kind of the rule book for these sorts of things.
Okay, so then it goes up to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And they agreed with the Third Circuit.
Yeah.
They unanimously rejected this whole class certification.
Big decision.
Huge. And Justice Ginsburg wrote the majority opinion and basically said, look, Rule 23 still matters, even if you're trying to settle.
Yeah, she basically said no shortcuts.
Exactly. So that was a landmark ruling because it really emphasized this idea that even if a settlement seems practical or like a good idea at the time, it can't just sidestep the basic safeguards in our legal system. And those safeguards are there for a reason. They protect everyone's individual rights, even in these huge class action situations.
Right.
Okay, so let's break down some of the key issues here. One of the big questions was, did the issues everyone shared outweigh the issues that were unique to each person?
Yeah.
You know, like think about it. You've got this class that includes someone with lung cancer, someone with mesothelioma, and someone who was exposed to asbestos but doesn't have any symptoms yet. Can you really lump all those situations together legally?
Yeah, and that's where this concept of predominance is really important. The Supreme Court really focused on the difference between commonality and predominance. Just because everyone shares a question in this case, did asbestos cause me harm? That doesn't automatically mean it's the biggest, most important factor in the case. There are still individual questions about how much asbestos someone was exposed to, the specific illness they have, even the laws of the state where they live. Those things matter.
So it's kind of like, yeah, we all went to the same concert and our ears are ringing, but that doesn't automatically mean the concert is why our ears are ringing.
Right. It could be the concert, but maybe you were standing right next to a speaker, you know?
Yep.
Or maybe you have a history of ear problems. It's about figuring out how much those individual factors matter.
Exactly. And in this case, the court said those individual questions were too important to ignore, even if everyone shared the common question of being exposed to asbestos.
Right.
So, and this leads into the issue of representation. Can the people named as plaintiffs in this case, can they really represent the entire class? Especially those folks who might develop health problems years down the line.
Right, because they might not even know they're part of this whole thing.
Exactly, yeah. And the Supreme Court had some big doubts about that, you know. They were concerned about the possibility of a conflict of interest within the class itself.
Hmm.
Think about it. You were exposed to asbestos, but you haven't gotten sick yet. This settlement might sound okay to you now, but what if you develop a really serious illness later on? Your needs and interests could be totally different from someone who's already sick.
Like, exactly. And the court recognized that. And, you know, then there's the whole issue of notice. How do you even let people know they're part of this thing? Especially those who might not know they were exposed to asbestos in the first place. The court said the efforts in this case just weren't good enough. Again, they emphasize this need for clear procedures so that everyone's rights are protected, everyone who could potentially be part of this class.
Yeah. So it's this tension between wanting a practical way to solve a huge problem, you know, making sure we're still upholding those basic safeguards that are supposed to protect individual rights and due process. And in MCHEM, the court came down pretty clearly on the side of those safeguards.
Right. And this is where we get into the nitty-gritty of Justice Ginsburg's majority opinion. She really digs into Rule 23, you know, the rule that sets out how class action lawsuits work in federal court.
Okay, for those of us who aren't legal experts, could you break that down a bit? What's so important about Rule 23 in this case?
Sure. Justice Ginsburg's point was that these rules, they're not just suggestions. They're there to make sure class actions are being used the right way and that the rights of everyone represented in the class are being protected, even the people who aren't directly involved in the case. She basically said you have to do your homework. You have to do a careful analysis before you can certify a class, especially when it's part of a settlement.
Oh, so she's saying that settling a case shouldn't make it easier to get around those requirements.
Exactly. She actually argued that settlements need more scrutiny because once it's approved, everybody in that class, they're bound by it, whether they actively participated in the case or not.
Yeah, that makes sense. The court has a really big responsibility here. They have to make sure the settlement isn't favoring some people in the class at the expense of others.
Especially when it could affect people who don't even know they're part of the deal.
Wow.
And this is where predominance becomes really important again.
Okay.
Justice Ginsburg was very clear about the distinction between commonality and predominance. She said, sure, there might be common questions in a case like AmChem, where the common question was exposure to asbestos, but that's not enough.
So just having a shared issue, that doesn't mean you can automatically create a class action.
Right. For a class action to be valid, those common questions, they have to be like the main driver of the case. You know, figuring them out would basically resolve most of the individual claims. Hmm. And in AmChem, the court said, that's not the case here. You know, they felt those individual questions, the type of illness, the specific asbestos products, the laws of each state, those were all too important to just brush aside.
So it's like saying, okay, everyone was exposed to asbestos, but that's just the first chapter of the story.
Exactly. And that's what Justice Ginsburg was pointing out. This massive class with millions of potential members, there were just too many individual differences. It's not that the shared issue didn't matter. It's that it can lead to this whole web of individual situations. And you can't fairly resolve all of those with one big settlement.
And that goes back to the issue of representation too, right? If those common issues aren't the main driving force, how can you say that the named plaintiffs can actually represent everyone in the class?
Yeah, good point. Justice Ginsburg pointed out that in a settlement class, those named plaintiffs, they might be more focused on getting the settlement done, even if it means people who get sick later might be giving up some of their rights. There's a real risk of conflict there. And the court said, we need safeguards to make sure those future claimants don't get left behind.
So it's not even just about fairness overall. It's about recognizing that fairness can mean different things to different people within the class.
Yeah.
What's fair for one person might not be fair for someone else. And the court has to consider that, even when we're talking about millions of people.
And that's not easy. AmChem really shows just how complicated these situations can get. And it reminds us that even when everyone is trying to do the right thing, you know, and the goal is to simplify things and get people the money they deserve, you can't just throw out basic principles of fairness. You can't throw out due process.
Yeah. We can't forget about Justice Breyer, though. He agreed with the majority, but he also brought up some interesting points about the need to be practical when you're dealing with these massive tort cases.
Right. In his concurring opinion, he really emphasized how unique mass torts are. He said, we have to remember how many claims there are, the potential for the courts to be completely swamped, and the desire to bring some closure to what are often really tragic situations. You have to consider all of that.
So he was saying, let's not get too bogged down in the legal weeds here. We have a huge problem. We need solutions that work.
Exactly. And he does raise some valid points. Mass courts are messy, and sometimes you need to be flexible to find a resolution that at least brings some level of justice for everyone involved. Mm. The tricky part, of course, is finding that sweet spot. Where do practicality and principle meet? You know, efficiency and fairness.
And AmChem doesn't necessarily give us all the answers, but it does give us a framework for thinking about it.
Yeah, it reminds us that the legal system has to balance the big picture, the overall problem, with the individual stories of the people involved.
Okay, so let's talk about what AmChem actually means in practice, you know, both for the legal world and for people who might find themselves in similar situations. Because this case really changed the way mass court cases are handled, especially when it comes to settling them as class actions.
Yeah, it's not just a theoretical discussion. This has real-world consequences. I think one of the biggest impacts has been a much bigger focus on that predominance requirement. Courts are really looking closely now at whether those common issues are truly driving the case. And they're not as willing to certify these giant classes where individual issues could actually be more important than the questions everyone shares.
So after AmChem, it became harder to just group everybody together in one big lawsuit.
Yeah, pretty much. And we've seen a trend toward more narrowly defined classes, you know, focusing on specific products, specific timeframes, specific types of injuries. It makes things more manageable, but it also means that more cases might need to be filed to cover the full scope of the problem. So it's kind of a trade-off.
Yeah, more precise, but maybe less efficient overall.
Right. And that's that tension again between efficiency and fairness. And it's a big part of the discussion about AmChem and its legacy. But the case also had a big impact on how courts view representation, especially in those settlement classes.
So it's not just about who's in the class. It's about who's representing the class.
Right. And
are they actually looking out for everyone?
Exactly. AmChem showed us that there can be conflicts of interest within a class, especially between those who are already injured and those who might develop problems down the road. And so now there's more focus on making sure that every subgroup in a class has good legal representation. Sometimes that means creating subclasses or appointing separate lawyers.
So like everyone needs to have a seat at the table, not just those who are the most vocal or whose injuries are the most obvious right now.
Exactly. And that focus on representation, it's become really important, especially in settlements that could affect people in the future.
Okay. So AmChem, even though it was about a very specific set of facts, it really had this ripple effect across the legal system. And it's still shaping how courts approach these kinds of cases. Mass courts, class actions, you name it.
It reminds us that even these older cases, they're still relevant, you know? Mm-hmm. They still influence how we think about justice, how the legal system works, all those complex issues.
And, you know, as we move into the 21st century, we're facing all these new challenges, like the opioid crisis, environmental disasters, those sorts of things.
Right.
And the lessons from AmChem, I mean, they're more relevant than ever.
I think so. It makes us ask some hard questions. How do we balance individual rights with the need for collective action? How do we make sure the legal system is fair, but also efficient? How do we deal with all these competing interests in these huge cases?
And I think even more importantly, how do we use what we've learned from the past to create a legal system that's ready to handle these new challenges?
Absolutely. Those are all questions worth thinking about. And AmChem, it might not give us all the answers, but it gives us some really important insights. And it shows us that this conversation about the role of law in our society, it's a conversation we always need to be having.
You know, we've really gotten into the weeds on this case, but I think it's important to take a step back for a second and think about why AmChem matters, even if you're not a lawyer or involved in a class action yourself.
It's a good point. What really stands out to me is that AmChem isn't just some abstract legal case, you know? It's a story about people. It's about all those individuals and families who were affected by asbestos and about how the legal system is supposed to protect them.
Right, exactly. It's easy to get lost in the arguments and the procedure, but these cases, they involve real people's lives. And I think AmChem really reminds us that we can't just sacrifice those individual stories for the sake of finding a quick and easy answer.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. The whole point of the settlement in AmChem was to cover everyone exposed to asbestos, past, present, future. Mm-hmm. On the surface, you know, it sounds like a pretty good idea. Streamline everything, get people the money they deserve, put this whole thing to rest.
Yeah, you can see why people would think, why not just settle this and move on?
Right. But AmChem makes us think a little harder, you know? Yeah. It makes us think about what could go wrong with such a broad approach.
Okay.
The court recognized that even within this huge class of people, you know, all exposed to asbestos, everyone's situation was different. Some were already really sick, some had minor symptoms, and some might not have any problems for years. So lumping everybody together, it raised some big questions. Could you really address everyone's needs that way?
It's like trying to fit everyone into the same size shoe. It might be easier, but it's not going to work.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's where the idea of due process comes in. AmChem shows how important those basic legal procedures are. Everyone deserves a chance to be heard, even in these massive lawsuits. And the court's focus on Rule 23, even when everyone was trying to settle, it shows how seriously they took that idea of fairness.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even when the goal is to be efficient, we can't just throw out those basic rights that protect individuals.
Right. And that has implications way beyond just asbestos cases. The principles in AmChem, they affect how courts handle class actions in all sorts of areas. Product liability, environmental stuff, consumer protection, you name it.
So what are the takeaways here? I think one big one is just to think critically about these legal issues, even the ones that seem really complicated, or even if you think, well, this doesn't affect me, because AmChem reminds us to ask questions, to look deeper, you know, and to think about how these decisions could affect us all.
Right. And it reminds us that the law isn't just some abstract set of rules, you know, it affects real people's lives. And we all have a responsibility to make sure our legal system is fair, that it works for everyone.
Yeah. You know, AmChem might be about asbestos, but it speaks to all these bigger ideas, you know, due process, individual rights, the responsibility of the courts to make sure nobody gets left behind. It's a case that's worth remembering, not just for the legal stuff, but for the human story, too.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And I think that about wraps up our deep dive into AmChem products. Ingfi Windsor, we covered the facts, the arguments, what it all means, and why it matters. So hopefully you've learned something today about this really important area of the law.
It's been great. And as always, we encourage you to keep digging, keep asking questions. These conversations about the role of law, you know they're important. And we need to keep having them.
Definitely. Until next time, stay sharp and remember that justice, you know it's a journey. It takes all of us.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on our next deep dive.